Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ. In our text, we meet John the Baptist, who is sorely disappointed. He is even disillusioned. This was not the case in the prime of his life. He had been focused and determined. He was fully aware of the purpose of his life. It was a God-given one. The purpose of John's life was to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And for this task, John was fully committed. In order to be effective in his task, he was willing to give up any luxuries and conveniences in his life. He remained as a single. He lived alone in a wilderness. His diet was so limited, even his clothing was simple. He was willing to forego all the pleasures in life to be able to prepare well for the coming of God's kingdom. And there was a time when his good efforts resulted in the best possible way. God kept his promise. Jesus the Messiah came to be baptized by him. Everything occurred as he had hoped. It was worth giving up everything to serve God and to prepare the way for God's Messiah. But as time went on, it dawned on him that something did not add up. He is in prison. His life depended on the will of a silly and immoral king. This should not be the situation in which God-sent messengers find themselves. Understandably, he is now in serious doubt. In prison. He is not sure about the cause of his entire life anymore. His uncertainty led him to send his disciples to ask Jesus one important question. Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? John the Baptist is desperate. He is a man in grave disappointment. This case concerning John the Baptist gives us a good opportunity to reflect on the disappointment in our Christian life. Of course, there are many joyful moments too. Nevertheless, there are times and there are moments when we seriously question God's purpose in our life. What is the point of all this, we ask? Especially when we confront our personal mishaps and difficulties, we do wonder whether it is God's promised life that we are living. So today, I preach under the following theme. Out of faith, we respond to disappointment. But first, we are going to examine John's doubt. John the Baptist had a certain expectation about Jesus Christ. We can see this in his preaching in Matthew chapter 3. His Messiah, his winnowing fork, it is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In fact, this reflects a popular view among the Jews in the first century about the Messiah. The Messiah, God's promised Messiah, was expected to destroy a foreign military power which occupied their land. And the brutal Romans who ruled over the Jews at the time should be punished. Should be punished for justice's sake. And the promised Messiah is going to do that. In fact, there are several Old Testament texts which support this kind of view about the Messiah. Especially in Psalm 2, verse 8, the Lord says to Messiah as follows, "Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and you will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." This meant that the Messiah would destroy the Roman imperial power. John the Baptist seemed to have understood that Jesus would bring to an end the kingdom of King Herod, which was a puppet of the Roman government. But none of these expectations happened. The Roman imperial military was as brutal as before, and the King Herod was as corrupt as before. Nothing seemed to have changed since the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And his present circumstances in prison do not match up with the fact that the Messiah has come. Hence, a question arises in his mind. Is he the right one? Disappointed, John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask that question. But now, let us examine the response from Jesus. Upon hearing the question from John the Baptist, our Lord Jesus Christ sent a clear message. Tell him what is happening. Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. John's response reflects what is promised in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 to 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Jesus' point is clear. What was promised in the Old Testament is happening through the deeds of Jesus Christ. Okay? It might not look like the way you expected, and it might not be as fast as you hoped. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God has arrived. The blind can see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. With the coming of Jesus Christ, God has shown up to put things right. By pointing these signs, Jesus encourages John to stand firm despite his disappointment. And afterward, Jesus affirmed John's role and status in God's redemptive history. Based on Jesus' response, I want to talk about our proper reaction in times of disappointment. As Christians, we can also be bitterly disappointed. More than often, our life circumstances do not reflect what we have hoped for. Sometimes it feels like this cannot be the kind of life God has promised to us in the Bible. Some of us simply hope that you would find an accepting community when you joined in this church. By now, you might have been disappointed after meeting some judgmental people. Or you might have simply hoped that God would protect your family members as their good shepherd. Yet, you are disappointed when your loved ones are not with you. Especially on a day like today, when we celebrate Father's Day, the empty space of a father figure becomes even bigger. Moments of such disappointment can make us wonder whether God cared for us. In these situations, there are three things we should keep in mind. First, your disappointing situation does not mean that God is not working in the world. John the Baptist was incarcerated. But God's kingdom works continued to advance in effect. God Almighty is coming to release his people from the power of darkness. He decides and he acts. No one can deter him. With the coming of God's kingdom, the eyes of the blind are opened, and the ears of the dead unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shouts for joy. The light shines with the coming of Jesus, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It will continue to run its course. These kingdom works continue, even though John the Baptist himself sat in a dungeon. We should also keep in mind that even our personal circumstances are not favorable to us, even at that time, God continues his work. For the reason, we should guard our hearts in our disappointment. When we are disappointed, it is easy to have a negative view on the things around us. As Christians, however, in our disappointment, we need to fix our eyes on God's good deeds in this world. It means that we should be happy with those whom God has blessed. Imagine, it would have been flagrant disobedience if John the Baptist would not rejoice in hearing the progress of God's kingdom. Imagine how bad it is if he says something like this. So, Jesus opened my neighbor's eyes. But what does it help me in my prison? Friends, even in our disappointment, when we hear God's wonderful works in the world, we should give thanks to God and be happy with those who are happy. Second, In your disappointment, look at yourself the way God looks at you. There is a saying that perspective is everything. If we look at the circumstances of John from a certain perspective, it's quite miserable. It is a failed life. In the prime of his life, he did quite well. Many people followed him to get baptized, and some people even thought that he might be the promised Messiah. He did quite well. Since he was regarded as a prophet from God, many people from the country, many people came to him to get advice. But alas, he seemed to have crossed his line. He criticized someone he should not have. He attacked King Herod and his newly acquired wife for their illegal relationship. Now in a prison cell, this old man is lonely. He even doubts the cause of his entire life. In fact, the end of his life is quite gloomy, as we can read in Matthew chapter 14. God's deliverance did not come to him. John could not get out of the prison. Instead, he was beheaded. This cannot be the end of God's righteous people. What a pitiable way of finishing one's life. In today's text, however, Jesus Christ provides the right perspective to understand John and his life. Whatever happened to John, even though he finished his life beheaded in prison, what God has done for him would not change. According to Jesus Christ, John the Baptist holds a specific place in God's redemptive history. As the prophet Malachi prophesied long ago, John is the very one who was sent by God to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. I will send my messengers ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And John is the one who was sent. And Jesus further notes the importance of John the Baptist as follows. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. There has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. In God's redemptive history, John shows the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Covenant. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Whatever happened to him in the end of his life, this is the fact. John is important in God's sight. In our time of disappointment, we should also look at ourselves from the right perspective. We should not lose sight of our place in God's grace and our status in God's redemptive history. It shows us how God looks at us. Concerning our status, the Bible, God's word, repeatedly teach that we are God's children. And this is one main reason why the least in God's kingdom is even greater than John the Baptist. The New Testament writers were amazed at this status of God's people in the New Covenant. The Apostle John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are." Jesus Christ also emphasizes this love of the Father toward us. "If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Because of our status as children of God, the Apostle Paul also confidently proclaimed, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. As we can read in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist finished his life beheaded in prison. But this does not change his status in God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus says, "Among those born of a woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." In your time of disappointment, friends, keep in mind your status before God. You are God's beloved children. Whatever happens to you, nothing and no one can separate you from the Father's love. You are loved by God. Third, ask God in prayer in your disappointment. In our Christian life, there are occasions when many questions arise in our mind. There are times when we feel that God does not care for us. It is as if we are sitting in prison alone. In such times, we want to say, as King David did, "How long, Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" In our time of disappointment, we should ask the Lord. In our text, John the Baptist provides a good example of this. When he faced his own challenges and doubts, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus. At the same time, remember that our status in God's kingdom is superior to that of John the Baptist. We are the children of God, and we can always get a hearing from our Heavenly Father in heaven. In understanding our relationship with God in prayer, I like this analogy by a preacher. In a kingdom, there is only one who can demand the king's attention by waking him up at 3 a.m. Who would be that person? That person who can wake king up at 3 a.m. is his 3-year-old child. This is the kind of privilege God has given to us in prayer. God hears your prayer in your disappointment. Jesus knows what it's like when you are going through. Jesus is able to empathize with your weaknesses. He is the one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Therefore, friends, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Beloved, in our time of disappointment, let us continue to sing praise to the Lord, as the Apostle Paul taught us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Amen.